Today's Timeless Truth segment comes from Steve Gallagher's popular video series, 20 Truths That Helped Me in My Battle with Porn Addiction. And in this segment, Pastor Steve uses God's word to remind us that those who give their hearts to the fleeting pleasures of sexual sin will pay a high price.
I think I'll open this segment by reading a portion of Romans 6 out of the New Living Translation. Listen to this. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow! That whole passage is powerful and full of faith, but it's the phrase in the last sentence that I want to zero in on. Paul said that the wages of sin is death. And if you've given yourself over to pornography and sexual sin, I don't need to convince you of the truth of that statement. I'm just hoping to bring a little more clarity to it here if I can. Let's begin with wages. What exactly are they? A wage is simply the monetary reimbursement a person receives for work he's done over the course of some period of time. Now, it goes without saying that when Paul mentions death, he's referring to spiritual death. And spiritual death isn't something that occurs all at once. It is a gradual process that occurs in a person's soul who is involved in ongoing sin. Of course, we're all grateful that we weren't struck down the first time we gave over. But the very fact that God's judgment isn't quick and severe is part of the danger of it. Rather, the practice of sin brings with it death in small doses. With each indulgence comes a little more spiritual death into a person's soul, a reduction of the spiritual life he needs to make it in this lust-filled world. That's the payment deposited on his account he can expect every time he gives over to his pet sin. So let's look at some of the specific wages of death that sin brings with it. The first wage I'll mention is corruption. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul referred to the mystery of iniquity. Practicing sin sets off a mysterious operation that goes to work on a person's heart and soul. It is like a virus that works its way into the deepest recesses of the person, corrupting everything it touches. This contaminating agent quietly, gradually, and unrelentingly alters his soul into something misshapen, bent, as C.S. Lewis once called it. Secondly, sin drives a person into a frustrating life of dissatisfaction, always lusting for some elusive fantasy that disappears right when he thinks he's achieved it. Every time he thinks he's about to enjoy some tremendous degree of satisfaction over some sexual experience, it vaporizes and disappears. He's left with nothing but the emptiness that sin always brings. As frustrating as that is, the lust for sin becomes so powerful that it keeps the person in a constant state of agitation for more. No sooner is he done with one empty fantasy than he's already chasing the next one. More frustration, more misery. Another aspect of sin is how self-centered it makes a person. The more a person indulges himself, the more selfish he will become. Again, this is a process that occurs over a period of time. Little by little, his self-life grows and dominates his thinking. Before long, the prevailing thought in his life becomes, "What's in it for me?" Decisions made throughout the course of any given day go through that filter. the person's gifts, intellect, wit, friendliness, leadership, memory, etc., are all used to exalt his ego and please his self-life. And we all need to constantly be reminded that selfishness is the very antithesis of true Christianity. Sin also deadens the conscience. One of the wages that are earned by giving over to ongoing sin is the gradual loss of the ability to discern truth. This spiritual phenomenon is eloquently expressed by three men of God from the past. Billy Graham said, "The most devastating effect of sin is that by it, we are blinded to it." Oswald Chambers said, "Sin enough, and you will soon be unconscious of sin." And Charles Spurgeon said, "You can sin yourself into an utter deadness of conscience, and that is the first wage of your sin." God gave man a conscience as an inward monitor of the rightness and wrongness of his actions. But over a period of time, as unrepentant sin continues, every new act of sin stifles the voice of conscience a little bit more. It is becoming seared and losing its ability to operate as the moral guardian of the soul. In fact, a person cannot persist in habitual sin without hardening his heart. Over time, his perspectives become altered, imperceptibly at first, but a definite change begins to take place within him. Before he's aware of what has happened to him, right is seen as wrong, wisdom as foolishness, and good as evil. As the heart becomes hardened, it creates within the person a presumptuous attitude toward the Lord. Professing Christians living in willful sin hold to the belief that they can turn to the Lord whenever they're ready. They also insist that because they profess Christ, they can sin without facing any kind of judgment. What they don't realize is that the deeper they go into sin, the stronger the delusion and the more presumptuous they become. The fear of God, the very thing so greatly needed, is far, far away from this person's thinking. Yet another consequence of sin is the misery it brings. Solomon said, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Things just always seem to go wrong for the person in rebellion to God. And the longer the practice of sin goes on, the worse become the consequences. Someone said, "Sin is hell and death and misery to the soul. Avoid sin, therefore, as you would avoid being miserable." The last effect I'll mention is the worst. It separates the person from God. The fountain is stopped up. The flow of life is shut off. The presence of God is withdrawn. Every step the prodigal takes towards the far country takes him one step further away from the godly atmosphere of the Father's house. As he continues to move away from that spiritual atmosphere, his perceptions change, his values change, his desires change, his thinking changes. Every step is transforming him into a different person. In closing, I need to mention one more aspect of sin. When a person commits some sinful act, he tends to forget all about it. He may think he's done with it, but I can tell you that it isn't done with him. There is within our being a recording mechanism that perfectly stores the memory of everything we have ever thought, said, or done. It's like a flight recorder that will be presented to God on Judgment Day. I recently heard the story of a man who was undergoing brain surgery and was actually kept awake during the procedure. The surgeons were trying to figure out which parts of the man's brain performed different functions. So they would press on one part and ask him what he experienced and so on. As they went through this procedure, they started manipulating the part of his brain that stores memories. As they did this, long-lost memories came to mind so vividly that he felt as if he were reliving them right there on the spot. This story reinforces the truth of what I am saying, that just because a guy forgets something he has done in the past doesn't mean the memory of it and the effects of it aren't still lodged within him. But even more important than that is the fact that it is being recorded in heaven. And if it isn't repented of, the wages of it will be exacted on his eternal soul. This reality was one of the things that brought me into the fear of the Lord and helped me get serious about repentance. God has given us the choice to give over to sexual sin, but be sure your sin will find you out.
All right, that's it for this Timeless Truths segment. God bless. We'll see you next time.